Well, we're going back over in our teaching that I was doing. I had started, I had a series going there, Mike, in the title of this thing is Manifestations of God. And we're dealing in the areas dealing with gifts, and we're talking about what people call gifts of the Spirit. I like to use the term manifestations because people get wrong ideas when they think about gifting. They get the idea that somehow that you're giving something that you're in control of and it's yours. See, when we give somebody a gift, like when I give a person a gift, you know, if I gave somebody something, when I hand it to them, it's theirs. So what they do with it. You need to understand this. If you give somebody something and you say you don't like what they did with it and you say, well, I ain't going to give them anything. Well, you never gave them anything anyhow. Anything that you still have control of, you never gave. Everything you want to have control of, you never gave. People do that ministry all the time. Some people wonder why they aren't blessed and they say, I'm a giver. No, because they never give things away. They complain what the church does with the money. They complain what somebody does this. They complain about the money. You never gave it away. When you gave it, it's theirs. You see, the government doesn't even consider giving if you still have control of it. If you give money to a church, you give money and you want to have control over that money, the government does not consider that as being a gift. You can't have it. You can't have it. You give it. So you give. Hallelujah. See, learn to do that. You know, God loves you and He's given you a lot of things, that stuff, and you may have done some dumb things. Did He take it back? When Adam sinned, did God take the authority back that He gave him? No. Because why? He'd never have given it to them. It never was Adam's to begin with. God never did that. So there's a lot we can learn about those areas, in the areas of giving, hallelujah, to be blessed. You know, if I bless somebody and whatever they do with it, that's up to them. I'm still smiling. I'm still happy. Hallelujah. I gave. Glory to God. And when I'm given, it's given unto me. Pressed down, shaken together. Hallelujah. Running. So, you know, I'm looking at outcome, not what happens. Everybody's nosing around whatever else happens. Don't matter. Hallelujah. I like the outcome. And I want to stay with that. Now, we're teaching. We're over in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. The last time I taught, we only got to the first verse and never got any further. Hallelujah. Well, we're talking about spiritual things. And I want you to understand this in this teaching, in this opening verse that we have. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. And I want you to understand in that verse, an opening in that verse, the in the 12th chapter, the first verse, that word gifts is not really in the Greek. It wasn't there. It was added by the translators to try to tell us something, but it would have been better off hadn't they hadn't done that, because it's not telling us what the Apostle Paul was telling this church. One of the things that we have a problem in this area, because when we go in and study this, the actual meaning here is concerning spiritual. Actually, the word would be spirituals. It was plural. Spirituals. And it deals with this. Things, spiritual things. He says, now concerning things that are spiritual. So we need to understand, Paul's talking, is going to go in here and begin to talk about things. Now, he will talk about gifts and things. These are spiritual. None of the things that are going to be talked about here are natural. Gifts of healings are not doctors. Has nothing to do with it. Because if it is, then God gives sinners spiritual gifts. Well, you're going to have to give me a different, because that's a different Christianity than mine is. He's talking to Christians about spiritual things. The Bible teaches us that sinners aren't spiritual. They're not spiritual. We're spiritual. The church is spiritual. We're hooked. God only considers one group spiritual, and that's the church. The rest of it is all unbelief. It's all unbelief. Now, there's one of the important things about believing. I always like this fact is the word believe in the New Testament is a continuous action verb. It never means to believe on something one time and you got it. It's a continually believe. We're in a continual faith. You might have believed God to get healed at one time, but that don't mean you're going to get healed the next time. Just because you believed one time before, you got to continue in faith. We always continue. Faith is a continual thing. Something you're always working at because you're developing in it. I thank God to where the things that God did for me when I first started off as a Christian. But there's one thing as I learned, I had to develop and how to develop my faith further. I've had a thing where the Lord spoke to me years ago, this long time back, but I was standing in faith about a certain thing that I was just a young Christian and God did for me. And He didn't do it for me because my faith was so accurate. He did it for me because He was trying to teach me in the areas of faith. Well, some years later, I got standing over in the same thing and sort of tried the same thing, and the Lord spoke to me and said, you're not going to get what you want that way. He said, you're going to have to go to a higher level. See, he expected it something out of me. Well, you know, you don't tie some kid's shoes when they're 14. If you are, then there's something wrong with your mind. Something wrong with you. Ain't nothing wrong with a child. There's something wrong with you. You know, we don't, why? There's an expectation that we have. Well, God has expectation. God wants you to grow up. You know, the highest level of faith is not operating in gifts of the Spirit. That's not the highest level of faith. The highest level of faith is you believe what the Word says and receive it and get whatever God says. That's the highest level. The highest level of faith is not operating. There are people who have, when I started off as a Christian, I got filled with the Holy Ghost after a couple months after I was saved. And manifestations of the Spirit started happening to me. Well, they didn't happen through me because of my great faith. I didn't have great faith. They started operating because of the Holy Ghost in me, and I just yield to it. So you don't have to be spiritual. The church at Corinth, Paul said they didn't come behind in any spiritual gift. Yet, he told them they were babies. He told them that they were carnal. So operating in spiritual gifts don't mean you're spirit. You're some kind of spiritual giant. Everybody that's filled with the Holy Ghost ought to operate in gifts of the Spirit. I'll prove it to you through Scriptures. I taught this subject for 6 years in Bible school. And I found out that most Spirit-filled churches didn't know nothing about it. Hardly. They were always going to reach some great epitome of spirituality, then God will use you. And I found this out in the Bible. If God is waiting for me to get to some place real big till He uses me, He may never use me. If you can arise to a place of great spirituality without God, what would you need Him when you get there? So you have a lot of wrong teaching. And there's a lot of wrong teaching in Christianity. And it has been a failure for Christians. The average Christian today who is Spirit-filled never operates in gifts of the Spirit. It's because they hear you. All they ever hear is you got to get good enough. See, if God's not using you, there's something wrong with you. No, there's something wrong with what you're hearing. You have no faith for gifts of the Spirit because you're told you got to arrive to some place spiritually. Well, where is the marker set? Where can I find the marker? When do I know I reached that place? See, you can't have faith. Faith is based on the knowledge of God. Well, then I have to know how I can recognize when I got to the place I can believe for gifts now to operate through me. Well, you would. You need to have that. You can't believe for something you don't have any knowledge of. See, they throw markers out there. It's like, you know, it's like the Lord spoke to me back in 2014. On the areas concerning giving, and he spoke about the ministers, that he said, you know, they'll tell a person, they'll come along and they have given and that stuff, they're believing for money, and it doesn't seem things are working, and they'll ask him, well, you just need to give more. And the Lord said to me about that, and he said, how much money would you have to give if you wanted to get $1 million? How much money would you have to give? I said, well, I don't know. I said, he said, well, if you had to have a certain amount of money that you had to give, you'd have to know what that amount is so you could believe for the million. So he said, what they're telling people is a good way for, this is what he told me, that it's a good way for them to get more money to get you to give to them, but it isn't benefiting the people. And he said, I hate it. He hates what they do because they use giving as a tool to put money in their pocket. See, you're a money marker for me. That's what it is, you know. I see you and it's about money. See, and I know things that I can say that will make you, you know, you just need to give more. Well, how much more do I need to give? What do I need to do? Well, see, you can't have faith for that million. If you have to reach that certain mark, you're going to have to know the mark to whether your faith's going to work to do it. See, don't be a fool. See, I don't understand. I knew that was con stuff from the time I was a baby Christian. I don't know how Christians, and they will follow guys that do this stuff all the time. All the time. Do the same darn thing. And they follow after it. Like a bunch of blind, you know, idiots and just, you know. God gave us a brain. I think we'd have one. We might use it sometime. Be a good thing to do. Start to use that thing. You know, I don't know why, you know, just, we should be able to figure out who's a con man and who's not. I mean, don't follow all those emails you get. Oh my goodness. Anyhow. But God, in other words, we're opening up here. This is talking about in this first verse is about spiritual things. In other words, Paul's telling the church that he doesn't want them ignorant about spiritual things. One of the great problems that we've had today is in this in the areas of education has been this. Because we've gotten so educated, we become psychological. And we follow psychology. Much of the church world today, I see a lot of things taught. There's a lot of psychology to it. It's not spirituality. It's psychology. It's based on a lot of things that have to do with the trends of our society and everything else. And we teach things along those lines. As when we come, sit down and look at these things, Paul said, here is, I'm teaching about spiritual things. There's nothing that we're going to look at through here. And eventually we're going to go and teach through chapter 12, 13, and 14, because these all are one subject, which are never taught as one subject. We always break them up and throw, you know, we get 13, that's the love chapter. I'm sorry, 13 is tied to gifts of the Spirit and their operation. And there's a lot of wrong teaching on that area people say, which the Bible doesn't say, but men say it. We got a lot of wonderful cliches. You know, Christianity is full of cliches that really sound nice and really sound good, but are they scriptural? Are they accurate? You see, you know, and it's too, we need to be careful that we just don't bluntly one thing. This is just a whole ball. You know, the Bible says on the same subject, sometimes numbers of different things as you go through. So you got to look at all of them together to find things out. You just can't throw one thing out there and that's all there is. You know, there's a lot of Christians think love is the epitome of Christianity, that I'm sorry, there's other things too that I've watched people, I've done funerals for people who really were well, did well at walking in love, but they couldn't believe God for nothing else. And they were in a situation and they died way prematurely, more than they should have. They didn't know how to believe God for healing. Well, thank God they walked in love. That was wonderful, but just walking in love don't get you healed. You know, when you have no money in your pocket, walking in love might not get you any money in your pocket. You know, we believe for things. We got to use a little bit of common sense. And common sense, you know where it comes from? What you're taught. There's no such thing as everybody has common sense. Today, they look and say, people don't have common sense. Well, it's common. Their common sense is based on what they were taught. That's what they're doing. They're doing what they were taught. You know, when I was growing up as a kid, our common sense was a whole lot better than common sense today, I think. You know, they had a lot better handle on things of life, of making decisions in life. Today, we don't. That's because of our culture, cultural change. But if you stick with the Bible and you follow the Bible, it'll give you good common sense. Hallelujah. And see, years ago, when I was a kid, the Bible dominated a lot of things in American society. And today it doesn't. So therefore, people are not going to have a good godly common sense. Most are going to just be as dumb as a stick. That's just the way it is. No good sense, do the craziest stuff. But you know, you understand, but people are bought up in families today that are ungodly. They're bought up in families that they don't have really good direction. Their parents don't have good direction in life. And it just passes on. I just thank God. You know, I thought my parents were crazy. I'm glad they didn't listen to me. Hallelujah. Praise God. But anyhow, we want to go here. I'm going to look on to verse 2. We're going to look now. We're talking about spiritual things. Now, Paul says this. Sometimes this is very confusing to people. Paul said in verse 2, he said, you know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols, however you were led. In other words, at Corinth. Corinth was a very ungodly city. In fact, it was very, what they call a licentious city. There was a lot of sexual stuff went on. In fact, in their temples, they had temple prostitutes and stuff at different kinds of temples. They had numbers that they worshipped all different kinds of things. And so they had, you know, and so it was common for part of your religious practice to have sex with them. That was really, well, you know, today they made, you know, sex is some kind of, you know, it's something that people worship more than, a lot more than they should. people follow today. But he told them down here, he said, you led by these dumb idols. But he makes another statement here then. He says, therefore, he said, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, when you read those and you read them separate from the first verse, you don't know what he's talking about. The first verse, he said, I'm talking about spiritual things. I'm talking about things of the Spirit. This is talking about spirits and their operation. This is not you and your mind. See, anybody, we need to see in the Bible, you know, Jesus would go preach at a place and he'd go minister the gospel of his day that he was supposed to minister to people. And he would go there and he would go to a synagogue, and all of a sudden somebody who was demon possessed would act up. You see, what he's talking about here, Paul's writing about, when a spirit goes into operation. If somebody's operating under a spirit, if it's God's spirit, it's never going to curse Jesus, and it's always going to, a spirit of God will always confess Jesus is Lord. I don't know if you've ever dealt with demons. I'm sure everyone in here has dealt with demons. They may not have recognized it. Maybe you have yielded to them. I don't know. But there's one thing about it. Now, I've dealt with people already dealing with demonic problems, and sometimes, man, sometimes a spirit goes into operation, a person starts doing something way outside of what you'd normally see a person do. You know, sometimes, you know, a spirit take over. Sometimes I've had people, you know, deal with this area, talk to me about it, dealing with sometimes people when they go into dying. A person who isn't saved, has rejected Christ, won't have nothing to do with it. And man, when they go to die, they'll just start cursing God like crazy. And see, some people don't understand those things when spirits. See, these people yield to spirits. Today, loads of people. We have loads of people in government. We have loads of people standing in pulpits of America today that are operating under demonic spirits. And loads of Christians follow them and don't even know it. Religious spirits are so prominent in America, religious spirits. You don't know somebody just because what you see them do. Because people can, especially people in religious spirits, they can act very religious, and I tell you, they sometimes like more, quote more scriptures than you will. But that don't make them a Christian. They operate under spirits. I've had people already in services that talked in tongues, and it wasn't God's tongues. They were, but you know what? Most of the Christians didn't know it. They didn't know. I'll tell you, to me and my spirit, see, you got to be, this is why the Lord said to me, and I got born again in January 1950, and the Lord said in February 1950, he said, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you're going to amount to nothing as a Christian. 20 years later, he said to me, most of my people, 80% of my people, he said, has amounted to nothing. They just follow religious traditions. They don't learn to live out of their spirit. Christianity is a spiritual life. It's not do this, do that. Oh, we have things we do. But that's not what it is. It's learning. You got to learn to lead by the Spirit. You got to listen on the inside of you. That's the most important thing. See, as number one, we'll have spirits go into our operation. See, there's lots of times people don't like the things if somebody would judge something. In other words, when the Spirit's in operation, you need to judge it. If something's speaking contradictory of Jesus Christ, you best know it. See, Paul would have never made such a statement if that hadn't gone on in that church. See, people would yield to spirits. Just because you get born again don't mean you can't yield to a wrong spirit. I have been sit in meetings where a minister would be operating under the Spirit of God and then start operating under a familiar spirit. People don't know the difference. They don't know the difference of it. People listening to wrong spirits. I was in one meeting and a woman was operating under a manifestation of a demonic power, and a big name minister stood up and said, God said to me that we're supposed to get her to lay hands on us. See, he yielded to a demonic spirit. God never said such a thing. Later they proved that this woman was operating under demonic powers. I couldn't believe it. I was sitting in there as a Bible school student and knew that was a demonic power. And there was big name people sitting on the podium, up by the podium, and none of them knew it. Now that shame, if, you know, we're in trouble if I knew it and they didn't. It's like, you know, this is why I'm not so big on the big names. We boasted people and put them into places above God. Yes. Where we follow them and listen to more what they say than what God says. Don't think that you can't hear from God. I'll tell you, I have found more sensible people sitting in the pews than on the, and in the pulpit. There's a lot of Christians know God. Don't think you're flaky. That you can't know God. That somehow, you know, the minister don't get a... I have to do everything everybody else does to know God. I don't get a special ticket to this thing and I don't have to do... No, I got to learn to live by the Spirit just like you do. There's no difference between the two. And there's people sitting in the pew, hear God, they know God. There's many people sitting in the pew. There are churches that you could go to and the average person in that church is more spiritual than the guy standing in the pulpit, is more spiritually mature. I have never seen such spiritual immaturity as today of ministers in the pulpit. Spiritual immaturity. They don't know. They're always trying to, you know, they want to minister, but they're trying to minister, trying to figure out what the people want. They're doing all this stuff. Listen to what God says, and if nobody wants to hear it, they leave tough. Don't worry. Just follow God. Just follow God. That's what you're going to have to do in your life. I found my Christian walk just being around when I worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company. And I found out, following the Spirit of God, wasn't all the Christians were so tickled about it. But one thing they found out, I was right a lot about things. They would find out after time, I'd say, well, such and such ain't right. Well, we think it's so. And they would go on with their little things. And after a while, they'd found out, yeah, it wasn't right. Why? Take time to listen to God. Don't just jump on the bandwagon because everybody's doing certain things and it just seemed a thing. Because the church is full of fads. The church got as many fads as the world got fads. You know, as quick as the world will change the type of clothes they wear, that's how fast the church will follow a fad. They'll just do, every season comes in, they'll have a new fad. They got to follow a new fad. See, we need something new all the time. I ain't interested in something new. The old's working great. Let me alone. The old works. You know? You can always find out if something ain't true if it only worked for a little period of time and then it quit. It wasn't true anyhow. The truth always works. Did you ever notice that? The truth always works. That's what's so wonderful about the Word. I can wake up tomorrow and by His stripes I'm healed, stayed the same. Hallelujah. It didn't change. It didn't change because COVID came. It wasn't moved by COVID. See, that's why a lot of Christians had a lot of trouble because, you know, they got moved by the COVID. COVID, you know, I don't know, you know, they're just out there. People got out in left field about it. It ain't changed. See, that's exactly, it's true. And just keep yourself there. It's true. It's true. We got it. It's true. You know, stand by faith. Don't get moved by the things that are going on. See, we have all this stuff that's said to us out here. Today they tell us we're living in a society of, you know, that has, you know, all this visual, you know, we got, you know, we carry a visual thing with us. There's always kind of news stuff. You can read anything under the sun or listen to anything under the sun. You got to be careful what you're putting into you. You got to start being careful about your so-called friends. When your friends become more important than the Word, you are in big trouble. People saying things and doing things out here. I'm shocked sometimes at things I get from ministers. I think, dear Lord. And then they ask me, say, well, you didn't contact me back. I had no plans. I'll tell them smart out point. I just don't go along with you at all on that. This is what the Bible says. It says, if you want to go along with that, I tell them, you have a big time, but just leave me out. Just leave me out. And I'm talking about Word people. I'm talking about Rhema graduates. They've got as flaky as... Why do they get out here following society? We can't follow society. We've got to follow the Word. Society's messed up if you ain't noticed that.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, I got enough trouble without trying to get into more. So we're not going into any kind of other things. Now we want to look at something here in verse 3. Paul's going to talk about some things dealing in the areas of gifting of God or how God manifests through people. Verse 4 he says, therefore there are diversities of gifts but the same Spirit. Weymouth said this, now there are various kinds of gifts but there is one and the same Spirit. In other words, there's one Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. We're not dealing with a bunch of different spirits in operation. This is why to get to know the Holy Spirit. It's so important. If anyone that you should know is the Holy Spirit, there are different people. I've had over the years people tell me they know Jesus, but they don't know the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, you don't know Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of Jesus Christ. You can't know Jesus. Now, you might know words on a page that are said about Jesus, but that don't mean you know Him. You know, it's like me. I pick up a book about George Washington. Like, Mike had given me a book on, I love history and stuff, and Mike and Darlene got me a book on history about George Washington, about the Revolution, and I was reading this thing. But you know what? I can't know George Washington personally. I can find out historical things about him. I can do that kind of stuff. I know the Holy Spirit personally. He talks to me. If you ever hear George Washington talk to you, I know a place we can take you. And they'll put you in a rubber room. Don't worry, they'll give you something, make you feel good. You know. George Washington ain't talking. So, you don't have to worry about that. But the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, He would speak to you. I've had ministers say to me, I don't believe in God talks to you. And I just tell them, I don't believe you're a Christian. Amen. God don't talk to you. I don't look up. Jesus said, who is the author of Christianity, said that the Holy Spirit, who is God, will talk to you. Amen. It should be the fact that we hear the Holy Spirit. That should be not anything strange. What would be strange to me is I'd never hear it. That would be strange.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit speaks to us. He bears witness. There's things that we know just because of the Holy Spirit. Knowledge comes to us because of the Holy Spirit. That's how it works. See, the Holy Spirit's the revealer of the Word. You don't know the Word because you study it. You know the Word. It's good to study the Word. But you let the Holy Spirit reveal the Word.
Amen.
You allow the Holy Spirit to be the revealer of the Word. So when we're talking here about these gifts and the manifestations of these gifts, they're diversities, all kinds of gifts, but they operate through one Spirit. So you're going to have to know the Holy Spirit, to operate and know the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Spirit of God lives in you. We were saying this morning, we're temples. God lives in us. He's inside of you. Look on to the inside. See, one of the things is look to the inside. I've learned over time that lots of times that's a mistake that people get is they don't look to the inside. The majority of time will look to the outside trying to get answers first, and then God is their second or third or fourth choice after they've gone to Cousin Harry and back to Mama and this person and that person. And then when they can't get it, whatever it is, I guess we're just going to have to believe God. You know, I'll never forget this. I first got born again. It was no more than the first or second year that I was born again. It was in the summertime and we had a drought. And it was really a bad, it didn't rain. Farmers were having trouble. And the Lebanon Ministerial Association, this group of ministers, I heard them made this statement on the radio. The one minister talking said, well, I guess we're just going to have to believe God for rain. And I thought, dear Lord, we're just going to have to believe God. This was the last. We've done everything. We made sacrifices. We did everything we could. You know, we went down there and got the witches in the community to see what they could do. And we went, what are you looking for? God, I guess we're just going to have to believe God. I thought, oh, what a desperate, terrible thing. You have finally come to the place you have to believe God. Has it gotten that bad? It's gotten so bad we have to believe God. I thought that was first. I thought that was the good thing. I didn't know. Nobody told me. I just thought it was a good thing. Believe God. To them, it was hardship. we're just going to have to believe God now. Say, whew, man, I'm sure how glad God's merciful. Aren't you? Oh, see, that's what, see, you folks are smarter than that. You'd be smarter than that, wouldn't you? So, I mean, see, the preachers are acting like that, but that does, see, you don't think because they're in charge. There's a lot of dummies in charge. Look at Washington. Washington's proof of idiots in charge. And they're all college educated, too. That's right. Oh, my, is education ever wonderful in America? Today, if you aren't an idiot, they'll make you one. I remember when education was a good thing. But times have changed. Oh, hallelujah. But there are these various kinds of gifts. You know, the definition here dealing with this gifting here of gifts, the word gifts is the word that we get, the word, this is used, the word charisma, is the word gifts. So when we're thinking about gifting, we need to understand, see, this terminology here was used, this word charisma. It says the Greek word, the charisma, is the idea of, it means to favor, or it could mean gift, but it's used in both contexts of favor and gift. So it deals with favor, which is important to understand. And it could be the word gift. It's derived from the verb, which means to, which in Greek means to favor, which in turn comes from the noun charis, which is the word we get grace. And you need to understand this, because when you're dealing with this, this is where it all falls into. We have terminology we use. We talk the word gifts, but really, grace is about gifts. And we touch it. See, I'm teaching on Wednesday evenings about grace. And grace is the power of God that works on your behalf. That's what it is. Grace isn't just about favor. You know, people say we got saved by grace. You know, grace is God being gracious to us. And they always use the terminology. They'll come along and say it's like buying insurance and you have a grace period and all that stuff. That is really a weak way to teach it. That is downright weak way to teach it. That's not what it is at all. Grace, the majority of the time used in the New Testament, is talking about God's ability working for you. That's the favor of God. You know, heaven don't write checks. Do you ever notice that? Do you notice heaven don't send out? God told Kenneth Hagin in one of the visions that he had, told him one time on the areas of money, he said, I don't send money down there. He said, I'm not a counterfeiter. I don't counterfeit money. He said, all you need in the earth, the wealth that you need is down there. He said, I gave it to man. He said, it's just in the wrong hands and the church ain't doing nothing about it. It's in the wrong hands. See, we have to, if we want to do something about it, but see, that requires faith, and that's an awful thing. The last resort, we might have to go to it. So, but anyhow, dealing there is a grace. Grace is God's ability. In other words, you need God's ability. Jesus died on the cross so you could become a temple of God. You could take on God's nature so God's ability could work through you. There's no point for Him giving you authority. There's no point for you being seated at the right hand of God without God's ability. Who cares? It would mean nothing. It would mean nothing for a king to seat a person and give them no power or authority. What backs it up? There must be power to back up. There's one thing that's dealing in the areas of power. It requires power. It's just like we're dealing with today in our nation, is why things are falling apart. We are putting people in authority positions without power. We put a police officer out there and he's not allowed to do anything, because if he does, the people who put him in his position use their power to destroy him. See, it's all messed up. God's not like that. God doesn't operate in that manner. God gives us authority, and authority, He backs us up with His power. His power works in us. The gifting of God is about His power, supernatural power. We're talking about spiritual power, not physical power. Most people are looking for physical power. It's not physical power, it's spiritual power to do things. Spiritual gifts operate from your spirit, their inner man. They look to the inside. Most people want a feeling of some sort or something. You know, I found it's an operating and manifestations of the Spirit. The majority of time that a gift or a manifestation will happen through me is when I yield to an intuition of something else. The Lord will just give me an intuition to do something, and I'll just go ahead and do that. And when I do that, a gift will kick in. But that gift never kicks in. Why? Because God always wants you to act in faith first. Mm-hmm. Faith is what moves it pleases God, not gifts. Amen. This is why most people never operate a gift. They get an intuition to do something and they don't do it. Maybe that's just me. Well, see, I went through all those things. I should think sometimes, but I keep getting intuitions, and after a while I thought, you know, I'm just going to follow them. I came to this conclusion. If it's wrong, then they'll say he's an idiot, but they thought that anyway. So I thought, we'll just try that. Let's just take a shot at it. They say he's dumb. I'd say, hey, you're right. You know, I could argue with you on the point. But I found out lots of times doing that, there was another manifestation would come. And getting people to do that, to follow. See, we're so afraid in our society of making a mistake, and that's all we do is make mistakes, because fear drives people to stupidity and making wrong decision. Afraid. Don't be afraid to miss it. I'm just telling you, and you heard me say this before, you will. You'll miss it sometime. Get over yourself. If you have never missed it, we're going to have an altar call for liars, and you need saved because you're heading for the lake of fire. All liars are going to be in the lake of fire. That's it. So come on. You're going to miss it at times, but it don't matter. Because you're going to surprise yourself as how many times you're going to hit things.
Hallelujah.
How many times it's going to dawn on you. And you're going to find, my God. God was working. God was doing something. God was making something happen. I've seen people time and time. I've seen some of the most wonderful things happen through people just followed an intuition or something, and God just did wonderful stuff.
Amen.
Is following that. See, He wants us to act in faith. God will never tell you the whole thing. You know? He'll never tell you the whole thing. You'll just get an intuition and take a step. And if you take that step, hallelujah. See, and this one, what we need to learn to do is not to be afraid. See, I believe in God using the entire body of Christ. I don't believe God just using preachers. We have gotten too many. We have too many big names, and few gifts. But see, God wants to use everybody in the body. And we're going to talk about that, because when this chapter turns into talking about the body, we're going to find out we have been taught wrong about what the Bible's saying about that altogether. Because see, we just made the natural, we're all like one big family. We're all just this. And how much we need each other. You know what? Somebody, I don't need no Christian. You know, it's like, if my eye was blind, do I need it? So if I have a Christian who's not yielding the Spirit, never follows the Spirit, do I really need him? Let's talk about the spiritual body. Now, boy, this will make people mad teaching this, because they've been taught for 50 years the other way, you know. How much I need you. You know. It's like a guy who runs a company and he got about 50 employees that never work half the time. He really needs them. See, we go by the natural too often. Too often we're listening to natural things and all this not cute goosebump stuff make me feel good about myself being lazy, not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Make me feel like I'm really needed. Give me a trophy anyway. I don't do that. The Holy Ghost won't either. God does not hand out trophies to lazy people. God doesn't trophy people who don't do anything. That's just it is. That's the way it works, whether you like it or not, whatever. Now, as a baby Christian, he did a lot for me that I had no clue about. But one day he said, we stop that. That don't happen anymore now. It's grow up time. 90% of the body of Christ, they're still in the playpen. You know, God will do it all. You know, he's just going to take care of it all. And they're always looking for somebody else, the lazy. The blind ones, the blind eye, is always trying to get somebody else to do their praying. Always trying to get somebody else to take care of stuff for them. Always trying to get somebody else to do it. They aren't the ones praying for others or trying to help. Nope, they're always the one. That's why they have You know, a lot of the prayer chains, that's is for the people who never take care of themselves. They don't join the prayer chain. Not they always need it. Why? Because they don't. There's nothing wrong with getting other people to agree with you. That's fine. But if you ain't in faith, don't worry. Ain't nothing going to happen anyhow. You're wasting your time. And see, we need to understand these things in the Scripture. God put this stuff in here to help us. This grace that God has given. We need to learn to walk, especially this thing is understand about God's favor, this grace, this gift of God toward us. What does this gift do? And we'll find out as we go on teaching more in this subject. We're going to find out the benefits because it operating in these things are just doesn't benefit others. Now understand, gifts that operate through us as individuals are given to minister to somebody. This is about ministry. You don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit if you don't want to minister. You have no need for it. It's not going to benefit you. It's to help others. Even learning to pray in the Spirit and that stuff, it's a benefit to others. Very few times, most of the time am I praying in the Spirit. Now, the Bible does tell us I can build myself up in my holy faith. But lots of times my building up my holy faith, I'm not praying for me. I'm praying for others. But see, any time you use your Spirit, you're helping your spiritual development. The more your spirit will be more conscious of the things of God. That's why you want to do things that you use your spirit. See, learning just to listen. See, we have our church life and then our other life, you know, over here and that stuff. But you know what? I get senses all the time. I've learned to listen to my spirit. Just, you know, it's like going on vacation. There's things that we were just on vacation. Certain things in my spirit just came up as we were driving along in areas and stuff. You know, there's things you can pick up as spirits around places and stuff that you become conscious of what's going on. See, a lot of people have a lot of problems and things in areas. They don't know, even they'll walk into an area of danger and don't even know it. They don't know there's an area of problem. I'm going to tell you, God will always try to protect me. Always. Always, always try to protect me. See, you need to learn to listen. See, I see Christians do this all the time. They're going to go here, going to go. I'm going to believe God take care of me. Well, you just better listen. Did you choose God was going to take care of you? Did the Holy Ghost tell you that? Some places He might tell you not to go. There's places the Lord has told me not to go. Apostle Paul, he was going to go place to minister, and the Holy Spirit said, no, you don't go there. Today in the church world, if you see a need, meet it. Oh, I sit at ministers' conferences and listen to those nincompoops say that stuff. If you see a need, you're going to follow the devil. The devil's the need maker. You're just going to run around chase after the devil. You see a need, God is not meeting everybody's need. Did you notice that? God ain't in control. If He is, He's doing a lousy job of it. Is God in control of President Biden's administration? God's doing this? Well, I've heard in these past couple years, more crazy preachers, oh, God's in control. He's in control. I think, man, I wish He'd get you under control. That'd really be nice. God's not a dictator over things. We have choices. I mean, God's no more in control of me than I allow Him to be. Amen. Now, one day, He'll get everything under control, but that ain't here yet. Amen. While we're here, we have say. In this earth, we have the authority. But people don't realize, God don't come and move here in His own initiative. It's if we allow Him to. We pray and ask Him to do things, and He comes and does them. Why? Because we're in charge. This is the most crazy thing. Sometimes that's hard for me to grasp. What was God crazy in putting me in charge? he had a thought better about that. Don't you see? There's a lot of people think they're really up to it and everything. But to me, I think our God's a phenomenal. He has so much faith in us. He put us in charge here. Amen. He has bigger faith in Ed. Because I can question that often. Are you sure you were thinking right about this? It's like handing the baby the gun. You know, it's just like, oh my God. Because we've had a lot of babies pull the trigger. Oh, yeah, the messes. But God has given man in this earth. We're living under a phenomenal thing that God's doing. And God is backing us, working for us. He's working on our behalf. His favor and His power is working for us. I want to read you verse 4 from the Amplified Bible. I really like it from the Amplified Bible because they really amplified, but they say it really from a scriptural perspective. It's correct. It says, now there are distinctive varieties of spiritual gifts, spiritual abilities given by the grace and extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit operating in believers. But it is the same Spirit who grants them and empowers the believer. That's really good. That is an excellent. I mean, I'm going to read it to you again. It's just an excellent way of saying it. Now there are distinctive varieties of spiritual gifts, special abilities given by the grace and extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit operating in believers. But it is the same Spirit who grants them and empowers believers. That's what's going on in you right now. Just think about it. That's what's in you working right now. The Holy Spirit in you. God is in you. There's varieties of gifts. God's working in us. He's gifted everybody. He's not gifted some people. See, you need to understand the importance of the gifts. As we read on in this chapter, it talks about the body. And the whole point is the power of this body and all the giftings of God work together make a supernatural church. A supernatural church that is not operating by what it sees and hears man saying. It's a church that operates by the Spirit of God, that operates and does supernatural things. Things outside the ordinary. See, today the church is very ordinary. The church in America is very much like America. Now, there's ones who in the church aren't, but the majority of the church is very much like the nation. But see, we need supernatural. We need supernatural. We need extraordinary. See, we ought to be, we want to get over there where we're believing for the extraordinary. If you're not looking for the miraculous and you're not expecting the miraculous, really don't expect anything much to happen. See, this is faith. Our expectation has to do with our faith. And if people are happy just the way that it is, and they're happy, a lot of people aren't even happy the way it is, but they have no expectation of anything. And they're looking for a leader. It's just like we're here in our nation. Oh, if we can just get the right people in office. I just wish we were to get the church straightened out, to get power in the church. We correct a lot of things. You know, hey, there are strong churches and strong church groups in nations that have dictatorships that are awful. But the churches are strong. America is full of weakness, and the church is full of weakness because it thinks it needs a government to be strong. I'm so fed up of hearing about the government. I'm so fed up of hearing about Trump and stuff because they made him God. Oh, to straighten out the nation. We can't. God ain't big enough unless we can get Trump. That's the church. In other words, look how Christian acted when he didn't get in office. See, we need to stop this. Nations were changed by the church and not vice versa by the government. The government never leads to anything good without the church. Government never leads to anything good without the church. Because the devil will get in and just kick everything around as he has done in our nation. My freedom from God is not to vote. That's not my freedom. My freedom from God is freedom from sin. If you can't get the church to quit sinning, you ain't going to see much happen. Our freedom, we make freedom to vote is how you have a, oh yes, God gave us these rights, gave us the right to free speech. What do you say to the Christian who's in a nation that don't have free speech? What, God can't help him? What are you going to say to that guy? Other than something American that's stupid. See, we've got things all messed up. We talk about God. We talk about God being big. People say God's in control. There's no belief in any of that. That's all the cliche church. The cliche church says all these things, but the practice of it, you know? You know, I'm really just shocked that all these people writing and chilling, hey, Roe versus Wade, do you realize the persecution that's coming? Don't be whining to me if you be cheering now. You thought this is great? It's going to be great when the persecution comes. You just keep up the cheering. And if you ain't going to keep up the cheering, keep your blab mouth shut. I've always known this. If they kick Roe versus Wade out, we got too many heathens in America. And they ain't going to go away quietly.
Amen.
And Lord showed me years ago, He said, America's going to be divided. He said, before I come, places of great darkness and places of great light. And it's here. We're having it. June of last year, He told me, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. And He said to me, they will call on me and I will not answer. Do you know, God, see, we have this terrible thing about the love of God, which is perverted, is the idea that God, you know, because He loves, it's like people say, well, God will always answer prayer. No, He won't. I can show you in the Bible where God wouldn't answer people's prayer. You can go too far and God will let you under judgment. He wants you to squirm for a good amount of period of time till you straighten out. God is merciful for a time period, but if you don't straighten in that time period, eventually He'll pull the rug, let the rug get pulled out from you by the devil, and He'll leave you in it for a while till you decide to repent. Repentance isn't asking God to help you. It's turning from iniquity. People don't like that. See, Israel wanted a king. God told Samuel, you go tell those people. Go ahead. Tell them they can have their king. Tell him what he's going to do. He's going to take all the good stuff from you. This is what he's going to do. And then when you call on me, when this guy turns bad on you, when you call on me, I won't answer you. And you know what? They had to live all those years with that king. And he did everything and worse that God said would take place. And God did not answer them. He let them live with it. You will find that through the scripture. You'll find Israel. But God wouldn't answer them. Time and time again. You can go too far. Somebody say, acts like you can always turn things around. No, you can't. I can prove it in scripture. You can't always. You can go too far. See, we don't believe in that. They teach that because God loves you, it don't matter. He'll always be doing something to try to do something good for you. You know, if you think about it, if that's true, why would we ever punish our children? Why would you ever do such a thing? Why would you ever put anybody in prison if the idea is we're just going to always do good to somebody that if they, what would we do? Why would we want to punish? Do you think that punishment bringing judgment came from the devil? The church does. They think it's, oh, that's bad. That's bad stuff. Must not be good. You follow the devil long enough, God lets you have the devil. And see how you like dancing with him. To see if you'll get tired of the dance. Or you'll turn from it.
Amen.
See, there's lots of people don't turn. One of the things, see, we've been taught in Christianity, I used this term before, if you see a need, meet it. Sometimes you don't need to need a person's need. You need to, they have the reason why they have that need. And if they don't change, they will never go without that need.
Amen.
And you have to learn to look at them and say no. See, parents are terrible at that with their children. And they raise needy kids. They're 40 years old. They still got to take care of the kids. They never financially get straightened out. They can never get things straight. Cause why? They keep stepping in and hurting that person all the time, hurting them all the time. Never making them. Look, sometimes in life, you're going to have to go through hard things. Let me just say this. I learned this from Kenneth Hagin in the first year I was born again. He made this statement. He said, great faith is made through great trials. And if you've never had a great trial, he says, you ain't never had no great faith. Great faith ain't from reading the Bible and going to faith seminars. You can be seminar. Faith people have been seminared to death. We need to go through trials to use it. Any skill that you have, you did by use. You can read all the books you want on a skill, but you ain't ever getting good at it till you do it. You learn to do it. You can read all the books you want. And we, you know, all we did as Christian, just keep reading the book. Keep somebody just keep telling you about the book. No, let's get to work. Let's get to work. The next time something tough comes along, quit running. Quit running to get it off of you as quick as you can because you don't want to say, hey, something tough comes. The thing is, when Kenneth Hagin said, told about the great faith comes through great trials, he says, when I'm going through something that's hard, he said, I just thank God, I keep thanking God that I have an opportunity to use my faith.
Amen.
See, have you found yourself where you didn't do that? You find yourself like me, some you complained. You just griped and moaned about, why did God let this happen to me? I'm so special. I have the trophy to prove it. My teacher said I was great when I failed the test. I have 50 achievement awards. You know, I was in the army and I went to Vietnam. You know what? You know when you find out you're good in battle? When you go to battle. You don't ever find out in training camp. When somebody is shooting at you that really wants to kill you, you'll find out what you are. That's the way life is, folks. It's about doing. The great reward comes from the doing. God's given you ability. I want you to get this fact. We're in a life, in a natural life, with all things that are going on. We live in a world, as Jesus Christ said himself, that we're living in a world that's full of trouble. And it looks like we're seeing more of it than we have seen. Like from the time that I was young till I look today, the things that go on, I mean, it's just so much more. He said, in the world there's tribulation. He said, but I've overcome it. Has he overcome it? If he's overcome it, what good is that to me if I don't have the ability to walk in that? What good is it to me? It's of no value. This is what the grace of God's about. This is the ability of God. This is about the giftings of God that work, that put us over. And they are spiritual gifts, and they're extraordinary in their use of the power of God and what they'll perform. These at once have, you can go through the hard things of life. I've seen people where, that nobody even knew about what they were going through. And I found out what they were going through and I thought, they haven't complained at all or said a thing. And they're walking through this thing. And they're trusting God. They got a smile on their face. And everybody else that has 1/10 of their problems whining and crying. And they're walking through this thing and they ain't whining and crying. I'm thinking, dear God! See, I want to be like that person. I want to be, when things get tough, I want to be able to keep believing Jesus. I want to be able to keep smiling. I kind of got to want to keep believing that God is working on my behalf. He hasn't quit. I don't want to be complaining about God. I don't know why I have to. I've done all these good things. You know, Wanda, this year Wanda and I have had so many things going wrong. If it could go wrong, it seemed to have went wrong. And just stuff after stuff, but I tell you what, I'm just still smiling. I don't care. I don't care. It can go wrong as it wants. You know, things that cost us money after money after money, and we did, and you know what? You know, I got in my mind, boys, all this money we've been putting out on things. Should we be going on vacation? And I said, yes, we should. We believe God can go on vacation, and I'm going to probably spend extra money just because of it. But I am not, you know, the whole thing of it is, see, your mind will go along. God's going to run out of money shortly here. This thing's ain't going to work. He can't get stuff to me because, see, all this other stuff's happening. See, this is the testing of my faith. All this stuff's going, you know, I walk around and say all I want about faith. But when the stuff starts happening, you find out. Yeah. What's happening? Are you smiling? And Wanda and I sit down, we talk about it, look at it, and say, we'll have all the money we need. That's what we're going to have. All the money we need. And we do. So it don't matter. But see, you got to stay in faith with it. People look around the problem they're going through, and I'm going through this, and I'm having this trouble, and I'm having this problem. Oh, knock it off. All you're doing is whining. All you're doing, you got this, it doesn't matter. Everybody's going through difficulties. We're going to say, you know, I ain't feeling better fast enough. It don't matter. You don't get yourself over there. Don't get time. Say, praise God. God's working in me. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in me. The same Spirit that gives the grace of God, the favor of God, is living inside of me. He ain't out in heaven. I don't pray to a God out in heaven. My God ain't in heaven. He done moved to the earth.
Hallelujah.
I don't, you know, some people say, I just don't see that my prayers are going anywhere. They don't have to go nowhere. They're not. We're praying to a God that's inside of us. He's right there. Hallelujah. The wisdom of God, the mind of Christ is a living being inside of you.
Hallelujah.
You have it. See, when you say, I don't know what to do, say, well, just say it this way. I ain't listening to the Holy Ghost. That's why James said, if you lack wisdom, ask God. He gives it liberally. Why? He called the wisdom of God to come and live in you.
Amen.
Of what to do. Hallelujah. What a God we got. He is phenomenal. He wants to do extraordinary. He has empowered you supernaturally. That's what he's done. Not a person out here. Not just some individual got it. Hallelujah. You know, I teach by gift of God. Maybe you don't have that gift. But these gifts, as we go on and we'll study these gifts, when you study them, you find out these walks operate through each person. So they'll manifest themselves through everybody.
Amen.
It isn't a certain individual. It isn't a certain preacher. See, we need to, you know, lots of times with ministry, lots of times I don't have specific manifestations of gifts of healings or those things. Now, the word of wisdom and word of knowledge operate through me. But I'll just say this, more in my everyday life than it does in ministry. Everyday life. I get things, words of wisdom and knowledge, you say, lots of times. I don't know, I'll just be minding my own business and all of a sudden God will give me a word of knowledge on something, something will just rise up in me and I just know on a certain thing. And that happens, that happens very regularly. I mean, I can't imagine any minister standing in a pulpit who that don't operate through. I feel so sorry for him. I don't know what on earth you do, because you're on your own. It's just you. See, the Holy Spirit shows you things that come. I've always known things from the time I was born again about our nation in the future. I've always known things. God's always shown me stuff. I haven't always told everything I know, but there's things God's always showed me things. Why? He said he'd show us things to come. See, you can't prepare for what you don't know is coming. The church today is an ignorant bunch of people because they don't know what's coming. You know, they didn't know Trump wasn't going to be elected. They didn't know that. Which shows they weren't listening to the Holy Ghost. All these big name guys that were just so good, know God so well that you send your checks too often. They didn't know. Why? Why is God speaking to Ed Gibson? He's speaking to everybody. He's speaking to his church. But his church are more focused on people than the Spirit in them. We always have to wait. Well, the new year's coming. Oh boy, wait about, you know, November, December. Who's saying what about next year? Well, see, nobody got excited about 2022 because they got so embarrassed in the year before of all their lying or did about Trump was going to be president and didn't turn out. They didn't say much about 2022, but I could have told you about 2022. It's going to be judgment. Well, it's been happening. But you know what? God's in the middle of it. Now, just think about this. God in the middle of this thing and did Roe versus Wade. Now, I want you to tell this. A lot of people ain't going to be tickled with it afterwards, even if thought it was fun now. Because when they see persecution come and stuff happening, they're going to be all upset. They're going to get upset. They're going to know, well, I wonder if that was good or not. They'll start questioning. Maybe they shouldn't have touched that. Oh yeah, there'll be Christians that'll be doing that. Why? Because it gives me an uncomfortable life. And my comfort of my life is much more important than my spirituality. Spirituality isn't nearer worth what my comfort is. I gotta live where I feel good. I'd hate to think they're gonna come and get me for my faith. Don't worry, they won't. You don't have none. I like what Billy Graham made this statement. A guy came to him and said, I don't know if I'd die, you know, for Jesus. He said, don't worry about it. If you don't live for him, you'll never die for him. I thought, man, that's a good answer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My God. I would hate to die and think I'd have to go to heaven. What a miserable thought that is. You're talking about something terrible. That's awful. So I'd hate to think about that, folks.
Oh, my, my, my. I'll tell you, there's some days I feel like leaving, going to be with Jesus. You look around what's going on, and I'll tell you what, these are the easy days for wanting to quit ministry. In the flesh, you stop and say, oh, it's crazy out here. Is it not? See, wouldn't it be just nice to go home, be in heaven? I'll tell you. Don't read about heaven too much in the Bible. You'll want to leave. You'll read it like, oh my God, let's go now. Let's leave. Hallelujah. We're going to have communion, folks, this morning. See, we want to think this morning is in communion. We're talking about we're one with God. God's in us. Hallelujah.